All right, well, it's very nice to have you here, Nicole. What can you tell us about the CD release that you're going to be doing February 13th?
Well, it's going to be a very special night. It's being held at the Andy Warhol Museum. We're going to be playing in the foyer. But upstairs there's going to be a big party and a big burlesque show as well. And the whole event is a benefit for the Pittsburgh AIDS Task Force. So it's a very good cause to be associated with, and we're very proud to be associated with the Task Force. But we're also very proud to be able to launch our CD here in Pittsburgh. Our incredible good fortune when we got here included hooking up with a label called Uh-Oh Music, and it's being released on that label.
Is there any particular part of the arts scene that you participate in or like to attend?
Well, music. That's the main thing about the Jilted Brides. But Tanya Andrea Stadlin, who's the other Jilted Bride, she's a photographer and videographer. And so she's now working, for example, for Squonk Opera, and they're a multimedia theatre troupe, and she's helping with the video projections there. So we're also working on some promotional films for one of the regional parks here. So we're also involved, I guess, a little bit in the film community, or we're just starting to anyway. So they're the three dimensions: music, and video art, and film.
Well, how did the Jilted Brides get started? How did you and Tanya team up?
At the end of 2007, we'd both decided we needed to make major changes to our lives because we'd, for various reasons, reached a dead end where we were in Australia. We decided to hook up on what we call Boxing Day. That's the day after Christmas in 2007. And I had half-finished tracks lying around. And I said, well, why don't you come down and sing? Sorry, I should clarify, I live in Melbourne and Tanya was living in Sydney. And she said, sure, she hasn't sung for about 15 years, but why not? And so down she came. We just worked around the clock in sweltering heat in Melbourne. Like, it's a heat wave there now again, well into the hundreds. We somehow managed to put together the album that you've got there now. So I guess it was a sense of adventure, and also a need to get out an expression of our journeys, which is reflected in the lyrics of the songs.
And why did you choose to call yourselves the Jilted Brides?
Well, you have to admit, it's memorable. And people really respond to it, which I find really interesting. I think people pick up straight away that it's going to be about heartache. But also, I like the fact it's a bit of a feminist reclamation as well. So we're kind of a little bit proud of being jilted. You know, like, it's the pictures on the front is a bit tongue-in-cheek. There I am in my wedding dress, but I'm holding a gun. So there's a bit of a woman attitude coming through the name as well, I think. It's a bit funny. And that's quite an Australian thing to do. Australians have a good sense of humour, and we like to inject that even into the darkest of times.
And you do all the songwriting for your CDs?
Yes, I do. I guess that's what I specialise in. My background is in electronic music. That gives me a set of skills which includes production and a bit of audio engineering as well. So that CD was recorded in my shed out the back of my house.
How religiously inspired are some of your songs? I mean, I know they're called hymns, but is it, you know, in line with a particular religious affiliation, or is it just kind of a more general spiritual?
Just a more general spiritual feeling. So it's like, it's pan-religious, I guess, if that's the right word, across religions. And so I'm not affiliated with any particular institutionalized religion, but I think all religions have got part of the truth there. It was more a need to express a sense of the sacred through electronic music and choir.
Well, how did you get involved with that particular choir?
Those hymns, they partly come from a project that I was commissioned to do a few years ago, and that was a celebration of peace in Melbourne, and it was part of a big festival called the Next Wave Festival, and there were these amazing people who were dressed as angels, and they climbed up the top of a very, very, very tall spire, which is the spire of our art centre, and they lived there for 10 days. And every evening they would throw themselves off the spire, attach these very long ropes and do all these aerial acrobatics. And it was a call for people to look up and contemplate the need for world peace. And I was commissioned to write some of the music for that. So people sitting below at twilight would hear this music. And so the Methodist Ladies Choir was involved in that project too. So that's how we got together.
On one of your tracks, you actually use certain clips, and it sounded like they were recording space. Is that what they were?
Or yes.
Were there a variety of things?
Yes, no, that's some of the Apollo transmissions. And as you can imagine when you're sent out into space for the first time, seeing the Earth from that perspective gave them a sense of mystical wonder. And they were sort of talking about God and about their sense of the preciousness of life on Earth and how everything sort of came into perspective, the oneness of the Earth. And so that's what those samples are saying. They're a little hard to understand because they're kind of old and scratchy, but I wanted to include them in the hymns because they're a beautiful sentiment.
You also used Emily Dickinson on one of your tracks. Is she a favourite poet of yours?
Thank you for spotting that. I adore Emily Dickinson, yes. Yeah. And I was looking for a quote about deciding that you were ready to take off on a new path in life and you felt it was your destiny. And that's how that last of the ballads begins, Road to Freedom. And I guess that's the Jilted Bride's theme song, because that's exactly what we did. We packed up our lives in Australia and we took off into the unknown in May last year, and since then it has felt like destiny because so many amazing things have happened to us along the way, including arriving in Pittsburgh and deciding this place is going to be our new home.
What do you love about Pittsburgh?
It's a very beautiful town. I think if you live here you might become a little used to that, but it's a stunning picturesque town with all the hills, and it's very green, lots of nature. It's got lots of fresh air, which I guess is a turnaround from the way it used to be many years ago, and the people here are incredibly friendly. It's like coming to a country town, only it's actually a big city. So you've got the worldliness and sophistication of a big city, and you've got the infrastructure of a big city, but you've got the attitude of a bunch of nice country folk, and we felt immediately welcome as soon as we got here. And we're also told by many artists that you can live here as an artist. It is possible because it's not hellishly expensive like it is in New York. I mean, New York is absolutely frightening. I don't know how artists survive there. So that's what we thought. We'd put down roots here and see if we could make a living out of our creative ventures.